Hey everyone, Jake Storielli here from John Boy Media. I want to tell you about my podcast, Wake and Jake. I've been a sports nut my whole life, and there's nothing I love more than talking about it. If you're a sports fan, Wake and Jake is the place for you. Covering all the hot topics from the sports world, a lot of baseball, a lot of postseason coverage, mock drafts, awards, guest interviews, all of it. New episodes every Monday and Wednesday. Come watch along on the Wake and Jake YouTube channel or listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain.
Benjamin Franklin is our subject for a new season with Walter Isaacson.
He's the most successful self-made business person in America.
A printer, a scientist, founding father, but maybe not the guy we think we know.
Franklin casts his lot on the side of revolution, and it's another thing that splits the family apart.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. This is Jimmy O'Brien from John Boy Media. I want to quickly tell you about my podcast. It's called Jimmy's Three Things. Episodes come out every Tuesday, and for 30 minutes, I dive into three stories in Major League Baseball that I want to talk about, or I do a stat deep dive. Sometimes I create my own stats. It gets weird. It's now your go-to podcast for staying up to date and in the weeds with Major League Baseball. No topic is off limits or too small. Bad umpires, great pitcher-catcher duos, new rules, old rules, three things that I want to talk about. Listen to Jimmy's Three Things on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everybody. It's Katie Couric. Have you heard about my newsletter called Body and Soul? It has everything you need to know about health and wellness. From skincare and serums to meditation and brain health, we've got you covered. And most importantly, it's information you can trust. Everything is vetted by experts at the top of their field. Just sign up at katiecouric.com/body and soul. That's katiecouric.com/body and soul. I promise you'll be happier and healthier if you do.
Foreign policy. Did we kill a terrorist leader? What do I think about all this? My friend Dave Reboy, Dr. Naomi Wolf is back. We are packed tonight on I'm Right.
My fellow Americans, on Saturday, at my direction, the United States successfully concluded an airstrike in Kabul, Afghanistan, that killed the emir of Al-Qaeda, Ayman al-Zawahiri. You know, Zawahiri was bin Laden's leader. He was with him the whole time. He was his number two man, his deputy, at the time the terrorists attacked 9/11. He was deeply involved in the planning of 9/11, one of the most responsible for the attacks that murdered 2,977 people on American soil. No matter how long it takes, no matter where you hide, if you are a threat to our people, the United States will find you and take you out.
Okay. Tell you what, pause on that for a minute. You just heard the president. We killed Al-Qaeda's top man now that Osama bin Laden's dead. We got him in Kabul. Good for us. Woo, life is good, right? America, baby, we killed a terrorist. Okay, just pause here for just a moment. You know I used to skip class a lot? Seriously, a lot. Especially, I was a bad student. I was a bad kid. I know you're going to find that surprising. But my senior year, I skipped class so much that at one point in time, one of my teachers sent a letter to my parents, sent it to my house, telling them that I had missed 2/3 of the classes that year. That's how much I skipped school, checked out, didn't care. Like I said, I was a bad kid. Kids, don't do that, but I was a bad kid, right? So one day on the way to school, this was later on in that very same year, after I'd been skipping school the whole year, my car broke down in the main intersection in town on the way to school. I had a 1983 Honda Accord. I bought it for $600, a piece of crap. It had like 250,000 miles on it, but I loved it, right? Breaks down in the middle of the intersection on the way to school. Oh, no, I don't know what to do. I don't have a cell phone. You know, this is prior to the cell phone era. I'm now pushing my car by myself off to the side of the road. People are honking at me, giving me the finger. It's a terrible day. Takes me forever to get someone out there to help me. Finally get it going again. It's all messed up. I finally get into school. I think I was 4 or 5 hours late. And I walk into the principal's office instead of going right into class. And I tell him, hey, look, I know I missed a bunch of classes today, but look, my car is broken down. Nothing I can do about that. Do you think he believed me? Of course he didn't believe me. He actually laughed. I remember it. He laughed in my face when I told him that I missed school because my car was broken down. Now, whose fault is that? I mean, the car was broken down. Is that his fault? Was he being a jerk by laughing in my face? No. He was somebody who had assigned the appropriate level of trust to what I said when it came to attending classes. Which brings us to the Biden administration. Maybe we did kill a terrorist. I'm not going conspiracy theorist on you. Maybe we killed the guy. Maybe we killed Al-Qaeda's top guy. Woohoo, life is good. And I hope we did, right? Scumbag, I hope he is dead. But I'm old enough to remember we pulled out of Afghanistan early. It's actually same area, it's crazy. We pulled out of Afghanistan early, left the area completely insecure. The Taliban took over, the Biden administration panicked, and they threw our troops right back into Afghanistan, only instead of guarding a base, which is very much easier to secure, they actually had our guys standing outside of just a regular commercial airport. They're easy prey out there. A suicide bomber approaches our guys, boop, sets off the vest, 13 American warriors dead. And America was mad. You were mad. I was mad. We were all mad. And the Biden administration quickly scrambled and called in a Reaper drone for a drone strike in response to this incident. And I remember we vaporized 10 completely innocent people with that drone strike. 7 of them were children. Children. Do yourself a favor and don't look on the internet at the pictures of the children we massacred with the Reaper drone. But that's not the worst part. I mean, that's bad enough. You know what the worst part was? I remember the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, after we vaporized 10 innocent people, going up to a microphone and saying this.
We know from a variety of other means that at least one of those people that were killed was a ISIS facilitator. So were there others killed? Yes. There are others killed. Who they are, we don't know. We'll try to sort through all that. But we believe that the procedures at this point, I don't want to influence the outcome of an investigation, but at this point we think that the procedures were correctly followed and it was a righteous strike.
A righteous strike. This administration vaporized 10 innocent people and then the chairman of the Joint Chiefs got up in front of a microphone and called it a righteous strike. This administration, and I'm not naive. I understand all politicians lie to some extent, and I certainly understand all presidents lie. Republicans, Democrats, lying to some extent is part of the job. But this has got to be the most incompetent, dishonest administration in the history of the United States of America. And man, that is saying something, because boy, have we had some corrupt scumbags in that White House. You don't get to lie or be wrong about every single thing for a year and a half, which they've done, and then expect me to simply take your word for it and stand up and cheer when you say, hey guys, we got him.
Is a Taliban takeover of Afghanistan now inevitable?
No, it is not.
Your own intelligence community has assessed that the Afghan government will likely collapse.
That is not true.
Do you see any parallels between this withdrawal and what happened in Vietnam with some people feeling...
None whatsoever. Zero. What you had is you had entire brigades breaking through the gates of our embassy. 6, if I'm not mistaken. The Taliban is not the North Vietnamese army. They're not remotely comparable in terms of capability. There's going to be no circumstance where you see people being lifted off the roof of a embassy of the United States from Afghanistan. It is not at all comfortable.
No, you know, actually, to his credit, he was right. We didn't lift them off the roof. Instead, they were scrambling onto the airport, as you see right there, and they were falling off the landing gear as we were running out of the country, and they were all about to die. You don't get to skip class for an entire year and then tell me the car broke down and that's why you didn't go to class that day. As President of the United States of America, you don't get to spend a year and a half lying about everything from drone strikes to vaccine effectiveness to everything else, and then get up and expect me to cheer or believe you when you say we took out a top terrorist. Maybe we did. I'm not saying we didn't. I have no idea. But I'm saying you'll forgive me if I'm going to need a lot more, and I do mean a lot more, than Grandpa Joe's word on it if we took out a terrorist, especially at a time when gas prices are high, inflation's through the roof, the border's wide open, Nancy Pelosi might be getting herself killed in Taiwan. I'm supposed to just take your word on it, Mr. Unpopular President, that you did the one thing that would boost your popularity? You honestly expect me just to take your word on it? Nope. I'll be holding out for independent fact checkers, if you can even find one anymore. I'll be waiting on picture verification. I want witness accounts. Joe Biden's word, it's not worth the dookie you took in the toilet this morning. And that may make you uncomfortable, but I'm right. We have an unbelievable show for you tonight. My friend Dave Reboy. Look, I'm going to ask Dave about this next. Do you believe him? Am I stupid? Am I too cynical because I don't believe him? Talk to Dave about that in just a second. Let's talk to you about something real quick first, though. Do you know, here's an eye-popping fact. Testosterone levels, you know, pretty important thing. Do you know they are half right now of what they were 50 years ago? In just 50 years, half a century, our testosterone levels have been cut in half. Estrogens in the waters, estrogens in the plastics. We don't have a country if we're a country full of man boobs. We don't. You know, Chalk, not only are they hardcore anti-communists, they have natural herbal supplements. Not chemical, medical filth. Natural herbal supplements. Chalk, 20% increase in your testosterone in 20 days. Go get a male vitality stack, fellas. Ladies, don't think you're getting out of this either. Female vitality stack. Be stronger, better sleep, more focused, all of us. Go get the lit powder, put it in smoothies. Go to Chalk.com and use the code Jesse because it gets you 30% off the entire site. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
There's no reason for the Chinese rhetoric. There's no reason for any actions to be taken. It is not uncommon for congressional leaders to travel to Taiwan. It is very much in keeping with our policy and consistent with our support to Taiwan under the Taiwan Relations Act. We shouldn't be intimidated by that rhetoric or those potential actions. This is an important trip for the speaker to be on.
I wonder if it is important. I don't know. Let's ask Dave about it. Dave Reboy, my friend, joins me now. Sign up for his Substack, Late Republic Nonsense. I read it. It makes me a whole lot smarter. He's also a senior fellow at Claremont Institute. Dave, all right, Nancy Pelosi's going to Taiwan. Well, she's in Taiwan as we speak. Should we care? What is it? What is all this?
I don't think so. I mean, I think this is theater. The question that you asked at the outset is, does this even matter? I mean, is this the right thing to do right now? And I don't think anyone really would say yes. I mean, this is it's a problem that the United States has had. Let's say the meta problem is something that the United States has had for the last couple of decades, which is that it prioritizes these kinds of symbolic gestures to the exact extent that it forgets its strategic interests. Now, its real strategic interests in regards to China involve the economy, involve not giving away the entire industrial base to China. It involves, debt. It involves kind of a million other things that ruling class people like Nancy Pelosi have been horrible at. And they've gotten us into this position. Now she's going and she's putting herself out there as, you know, whatever, a champion of Taiwanese democracy. I don't know. I mean, this kind of thing, that there's the old saying that patriotism is the last, refuge of the scoundrel. I'm not sure if that's true, but this kind of posturing is definitely the last refuge of a scoundrel.
Joe Biden's talking tough. Everyone's talking tough about China and the CCP, and you can't threaten us. And I mean, all that stuff's fine. Look, I love America too. Wave that flag all day long. But it feels like they can, Dave. It sure feels like they can threaten us at this point in time. What are we going to do? What even can we do?
Look, I don't think there's really anything that we can do. The first thing is we should dispense with all kinds of nonsense things that will not happen. So, for example, the idea that tomorrow or the next day, or frankly any time, the Chinese military is gonna walk in and launch an attack on Taiwan, I think it's ridiculous, because at the end of the day, Taiwan is a valuable property. Taiwan has industry. Taiwan is a jewel. In the same way that China could have completely destroyed Hong Kong for years without all that much effort, they didn't. They decided that they would walk in and take it when the time was right, and they've got all the time in the world. And I think that's exactly what they're going to do with Taiwan. At a certain point, the timing will be right, and they'll just walk in because they don't want to wreck the place. So that's number one. Number two is we really need to start. Well, let's say I'm gratified by a lot of folks on the right now who are seeing this stuff and also seeing, you know, something we'll talk about in a second with the al-Zawahiri. They're seeing this stuff from the regime media, and they're just saying, you know what, shove it. This is mostly propaganda, and it's ridiculous. And look, I mean, you and I don't want to live in a place where we absolutely can't trust the government to tell us what's actually going on, and we absolutely can't trust the media to tell us what's going on. But guess what? We're there, and we don't solve those particular problems by you know, waking up one day and trusting them and sort of following the ball, whichever way they toss it.
Yeah, man, that's so daggone true. We don't like it, but that's what we have. And look, I'm glad you brought this up. I said in the open, I hope the guy's dead. He might be dead, probably is dead. I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist here, but when you've lied about everything, you lied about the righteous kill the last time we vaporized 10 innocent people. You've lied about vaccines. You've lied about the border. The administration is now bold enough to lie about the definition of recession. Don't expect me to start waving the flag and rah-rah when you tell me you killed someone in Al-Qaeda. For all I know, we didn't.
Right. No, I mean, I have no doubt that the guy is dead. I'm just not 100% sold on the fact that he died yesterday. There have been rumors of his demise in the past. I think it's pretty clear. Look, the cynical me would say, hey, we're coming up on a year of the disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal, which I think it was proper that he withdrew. It was just the manner in which he did it. And so he's still, he being Biden, is still feeling a sting from that and from that particular failure. So here's a nice little thing on the 1 year anniversary to try to change the narrative. Yeah, you'd be cynical to be cynical about that. But on the other hand, I think it's completely warranted. We don't know when he died. I just read a report that was, you know, full of leaks. And if you honestly really do believe in the U.S. national security, you should be kind of outraged that some of the Biden administration White House people are talking to the media in this way and giving away all these secrets. But part of the story was, oh yeah, we didn't care to pick up his remains or to check to make sure if we even got the right guy, because you know the Taliban picked up the remains and they cleared the scene very quickly. So I mean, that doesn't fill you with a whole lot of confidence. There are just a lot of questions when it comes to the things that this regime says. And I think we should be kind of mindful and skeptical of that whenever they say anything. But
Dave Reboy,
thank you so much.
He's dead. Yeah, no, good riddance to that scumbag. Go subscribe to Late Republic Nonsense, Dave's Substack. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. More Hunter stuff. This stuff just continues. There's just an avalanche of it. We're going to talk to Miranda Devine about that in a second. Let's first talk about your health insurance. I know you have it. You know, we all got to have it, right? You have to have it. So you're paying. You pay premiums for it. Who are you paying? Are you funding someone who shares your values or who takes every opportunity to spit on your values? Because you do have options. We can feel like we don't, but you do. You know, One Share Health shares your values, right? Faith-based insurance company. Give back to veterans with PTSD. You don't have to sacrifice coverage, great prices, vision, dental, whatever you need, 24/7 telehealth, mental health services. They have it all, and they share your values. How about that for putting your money where your morals are? Go to my.onesharehealth.com/Kelly. Promo code Jesse Kelly gets you $75 off, so use that. My.onesharehealth.com/Kelly, promo Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Online business records suggest that the First Son still holds a 10% stake in a Chinese investment fund. Is it possible to have basic transparency there on whether he actually divested that stake or not?
So your last questions, I would refer you to his representatives. That's not something that I can speak about from here at the podium.
Okay. All right. Joining me now, Miranda Devine. She's the one who actually knows about Hunter Biden's laptop, Hunter Biden's ties to everything. You really should have read her book by now, Laptop from Hell, that will explain all this to you. But Miranda, let's focus. We've talked a lot about Ukraine and Russia and things like that in the past. Let's focus on China, Hunter Biden and China. How did all this even begin? I find it so odd that the Biden family is so wired in there. Why did that happen? How'd that happen?
Well, look, the first evidence we had was very public. It was when Joe Biden flew to Beijing for all these high-level meetings with the Chinese Communist Party, including Xi Jinping, and he brought along with him his son, Hunter Biden. And that was crystal clear to everybody in China what that meant. That was sending the signal that Hunter Biden was what's known in China as a princeling, and that is a family member of a high official to whom you can give all sorts of bribes and business deals and so on. And that's exactly what happened. Joe Biden, as vice president, had some very important tasks to perform on the behalf of America, but also on behalf of the rest of the world. And that was to stop China's aggression, to stop them militarizing those islands in the South China Sea and stop stealing our intellectual property, etc. But he achieved none of that. But at the end of that trip, Hunter Biden came away from China with a 10% stake in BHR, which was an equity fund part owned by Chinese entities like the Bank of China. And that was a pretty lucrative gig for him.
Miranda, okay, so China brings in Joe Biden's loser son and they give him a bunch of money, obviously, that's supposed to trickle its way up to Joe. Everyone understands the game by now. Can you help me understand why, though? I mean, Joe Biden doesn't have any money. Obviously, he has a ton of influence. What exactly does China want out of U.S. policy that Joe Biden can deliver?
Well, China wants the U.S. to go soft in their foreign policy, to not interrupt their goal to basically take over the Western Pacific, to be the number one economic superpower in the world. And that's what it's been, that's its long-term plan, and it wants to do it without firing a shot. And the way to do that is to compromise high-level influential Americans to basically bribe businesses and to decimate American manufacturing and so on. And so Joe Biden, buying off the vice president would work very well inside that policy of influence peddling. And look, I mean, the Chinese influence operations are not confined to the Biden family. They're bipartisan. The San Francisco Bay Area, which Nancy Pelosi is in charge of, is a hotbed of Chinese influence operations.
Miranda, you have a piece today up, great piece, by the way, in the New York Post about this Hunter Biden stuff leading back to Joe, which that gets us into a whole different realm if that turns out to be verifiable, correct? What do you have? What's going on?
Well, look, this has really been known since our very first story in October of 2020. If you remember, that we ran from the first story from the Hunter Biden laptop was an email sent by Hunter Biden's Ukrainian benefactor from this corrupt energy company called Burisma that was paying him $1 million a year to sit on its board. That was an email from an executive there at Burisma thanking Hunter for introducing him to his father having a meeting in Washington, D.C. in 2015. So we didn't know exactly what that meeting was about, but we put that email, having verified it with other people, put that email in the paper, and we asked the Biden campaign about it. Joe Biden's response was to go to ground, to get his minions to claim that it wasn't true. Only last year, the White House admitted that, yes, Joe Biden had showed up to this meeting, which we later discovered was not just any old meeting. It was a dinner at Cafe Milano, a well-known Italian restaurant in Georgetown, in a private room. And Hunter used to use the private rooms at Cafe Milano to do business and to introduce his father to his overseas business partners. And on this particular evening in April of 2015, on the guest list were Ukrainians, Russians, Kazakhstanis. And there's an unverified photo of Joe Biden with a couple of Kazakhstanis, may not have been in that night, but it was in Cafe Milano. So, there was a lot of evidence to show that Joe Biden, at the very least, was aware of Hunter Biden's overseas business dealings, had met with Hunter Biden's overseas business partners on, dozens of occasions, we could say, that there's evidence of. And so his repeated insistence during the campaign and from the White House podium since that he knew nothing about his son Hunter's overseas business dealings is just shown to be a lie.
Miranda, why Hunter? And this is what I mean by why Hunter. If you're Joe Biden and you want to send out, an emissary to go do your bidding for you around the world, there's no one else in this family you could send beyond your drugged out son who enjoys ladies of the night, if you will. He seems like such an odd representative for the family. Do you have some insight into why he would pick Hunter of all people?
Look, Hunter was a fairly plausible person, before 2015, I guess, when his brother Beau died and he really fell off the tracks. He had sort of various alcohol and maybe drug issues and went to rehab and so on before that. But he still was holding down, seemingly a normal life with a very nice wife and three little kids in Washington, D.C. He was know, in the social circuit, going to parties, mixing with sensible people, people in the administration. So I guess he was seen, he was working as a lobbyist. The Obama people decided that that was not going to fly when they picked Joe as their vice president. So Hunter had to find another line of work. Hunter was always, since university days, pegged as the sort of bag man for the family. And his role had been assigned to him by Joe very early on, that he would be the guy who would get jobs at inflated salaries from Joe's sponsors and donors, and that he would use that money to sort of fund the expenses of the rest of the family. And he's complained bitterly about that, that he was basically had to give half his salary to Pop. Well, of course, he only got the salary through Pop, aka Joe Biden, but that he was, footing the bill for a lavish lifestyle for the rest of the family, because, of course, Joe and his older son, Beau, Joe had destined for greater things in politics, and they had to remain squeaky clean on financial issues. And that's why Joe Biden, even though he lives a very lavish caviar lifestyle, he always maintained that he was the poorest man in Congress. He's Honest Joe, Lunch Pail Joe. He could get away with that because Hunter was the one who was the bag man and funding the lifestyle that he enjoyed.
Man, what a business. Miranda Devine, thank you so much. Go read all her stuff, New York Post. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Jesse.
All right. One of the biggest interviews we've ever done on this show was with Dr. Naomi Wolf, when she came on and she started dropping the truth about the Pfizer documents the FDA was forced to release. They were jaw-dropping, right? Dr. Naomi Wolf is back. She has more to say, and you're going to want to hear that. Hang on just 1 second. While we wait for Naomi Wolf, why don't you pick up your phone and make a quick phone call? Pick it up. It's time for you and me to take a lot more ownership than we have about our personal security. Your personal security has a lot more to do, has a lot more to it than ammo and being able to hit what you aim at. Being able to buy things, if all this stuff continues to go really, really poorly, is pretty critical. You're going to need things. You need something to buy them with. Oxford Gold Group will deliver gold to your front door. Gold coins are always going to have value, have always had value. You're not going to lose your rear end on gold because it's freaking gold. It's always going to be worth a lot. Oxford Gold Group delivers it to your front door. Give them a call. Tell them Jesse told you to call. They will take good care of you, I promise. Call 833-995-GOLD. You're never going to look at that gold you have in the house and say, oh, dang, gold. It may save your life one day. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
Social media misinformation and disinformation, it's very difficult to get people to adhere to common sense public health measures.
Oh, okay. Joining me now, Dr. Naomi Wolf, co-founder and CEO of DailyClout.io and author of the book you should have read by now, The Bodies of Others. Doctor, where do you get off spreading this misinformation out here? What do you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I am not a medical doctor, but I'm an investigative reporter and best-selling nonfiction writer of 35 years. And my specialization in many of my books is women's health. I've written a book about obstetrics. I've written a book about female sexuality. I've written a book about female adolescence. And I've broken many important stories about women's health, including the breast implants, the silicone breast implants danger story, and the story of the wave of anorexia and bulimia in the 1990s. So when you're a nonfiction investigative reporter about women's issues, especially what you pay attention to is early signals. My motto is when in doubt, listen to women. And I found out last Friday that the government of the United States targeted me for doing what I've been doing for 35 years, good investigative reporting about women's health issues. To my shock, I found out that America First Legal issued a Freedom of Information request to the CDC and got 260 internal pages back. And I'm in there with my tweet as a journalist, as a citizen using my First Amendment rights. Carol Crawford of the CDC, the digital media outreach person, singled out a tweet of mine in which I was noting that hundreds of women on social media were reporting menstrual dysregulation after having been vaccinated with mRNA vaccines. And I literally said, needs verification. And because I posted that tweet, I experienced this from the other end, and I wrote about this from the other end in the bodies of others. A little over a year ago, not only was I deplatformed by Twitter, with whom Carol Crawford was colluding, and also deplatformed by Facebook, but there ensued a global smear campaign, clearly orchestrated by Twitter, we'll find out more in discovery, in which literally tweets of mine that didn't exist, because I deleted them immediately upon composing them because they were badly worded, got revived out of the ether and presented to all these news sites that I'd written for decades, like The Guardian, where I had a column, and The New Republic, which is still syndicating me. And there was this wave of reporting of Naomi's crazy, she's not credible. I was called all kinds of names. And that was the United States government illegally colluding with the private sector. And it's not even just about my own kind of reputation and loss of various platforms, but a year and a half went by when women were not told that what I was starting to report, that women were reporting menstrual, serious menstrual harms. And predictably, you know, 15 months later, there's a rise in neonatal deaths worldwide, a rise in spontaneous abortions and miscarriages among vaccinated women. We've broken the story of polyethylene glycol in the breast milk of vaccinated women. And women, now NIH studies, multiple other studies, the BBC, the people who yelled at me and called me names, confirmed that in fact the average woman's menstrual cycle has extended by a full day, which means some women are bleeding for like two or three more days than usual. And I won't even, it's a family show, I won't go into the details, but there are many other horrific, painful outcomes from menstrual dysregulation that American women weren't protected from in the last 15 months because the CDC, which is supposed to be protecting us, sought to silence and punish me and people like me instead.
Golly, that is so terrible, these women. All right, I know you have a new piece up on the Daily Clout about these Pfizer documents. And just to recap for everyone who wasn't here, about the few people who didn't see what she said on our show before, she is digging through all these documents Pfizer or the FDA was forced to release, these Pfizer documents out there. And you've uncovered some amazing things. What else have you found?
Oh, gosh, so much. Well, first, let me say that I can take credit for convening these 3,000 amazing volunteers that came to us from both Daily Clout Outreach and War Room Outreach, but I can't take credit for putting together the reports. I edit them, but the primary research is being done by these incredibly credentialed medical doctors, RNs, medical fraud investigators, biostatisticians, lab clinicians, biological scientists. And I mention that because they're the most highly credentialed people in the world. And this Team 5 report is headlined by a doctor who's also an MBA, an MD who's also an MBA. And we found a huge range of harms in the 30 reports that are up on Daily Clout. You can read them. I edited them so everyone can understand them. Everything ranging from 1,200 people dying, you know, in the first few months of the rollout of these vaccines, to 4 people dying on the day they were injected, to the fact that Pfizer had to hire 2,400 extra employees to deal with just the paperwork from the adverse events, to the fact that Pfizer knew that 35 minors sustained heart damage within a week of having been injected with the mRNA vaccines, but the Pfizer gave an emergency use authorization for teenagers to get the shot anyway. And a whole 360-degree range of harms to the reproductive cycle. Everything from, and forgive me for being direct, but we're all grown-ups and we all took biology, everything from sperm counts of vaccinated men dropping, sperm motility dropping, to Pfizer defining exposure to the vaccine as skin contact, inhalation, and sexual intercourse, especially at the moment of conception, all the way to the lipid nanoparticles crossing the placenta, so entering the fetal environment, all the way to, you know, and again, the menstrual dysregulation goes to this, because if there's something destabilizing the uterine lining, you know, we all remember that's where the fertilized egg implants, right? And so we're having so many miscarriages now. Well, it's not hard to understand one mechanism for that. All the way to 56 babies going into multi-organ system failure in the VARS database when they were injected with a vaccine, all the way to the breast milk of vaccinated women turning blue-green, polyethylene glycol, as I may have mentioned, in the breast milk. So babies are going into seizures, failure to thrive. I could go on and on and on. But the most recent report, which is the one I reported on this morning, has even more shocking information. Perhaps you'd like me to drill in on that?
Please.
Yeah, thank you. So everyone go to dailycloud.io or to Getter, and I've pinned it on the top of my Getter feed. So this is a report, as I mentioned, headlined by a physician. It summarizes several reports, documents that are inside the Pfizer documents. And what it shows is that Pfizer did internal studies in Vancouver, Canada, of rats, Wistar Han rats, and also macaque monkeys, right? So mammals. And this is standard when you're creating a medication for human beings. You experiment on rats or on monkeys because they have a similar biology to humans, not identical. And what was revealed is that Pfizer concealed a lot of outcomes that they should have reported, but most dramatically to me, Pfizer found that 100 micrograms of the mRNA materials and the lipid nanoparticles, which is the ingredients in the mRNA injections, they didn't stay in the injection site, right? And all the doctors and spokesmodels of the CDC, you know, were swearing up and down, you know, doctors I asked at the start when this rollout was happening, like, where does this stuff go in the body? They all swore it either stays in the injection site or it gets metabolized by the body, no problem, don't worry about it. But that was not true. And the FDA and certainly the CDC and Pfizer knew it was not true. In fact, this is the second place in the Pfizer documents that confirms that the mRNA vaccines go to every tissue in the body. They went through these rats, every tissue, and the rats were sacrificed at like 15 minutes, 2 hours, 3 hours, 1 day, 2 days. The tissues were fully kind of saturated with these mRNA injection materials. And where this is so important is that the rats began to, you know, before they were sacrificed, they began to lose weight, some of them, and to show toxicity. And what the scientists doing the study found was that 100 micrograms was absolutely toxic to these mammals. So toxic that they talked to the sponsor, meaning Pfizer, and Pfizer said, okay, drop it. We're not going to do 100 micrograms anymore in this whole experiment. But the outcome for those 100 microgram rats, apart from the indications of their distress, is covered up. It's nowhere to be found. And by law, you're supposed to follow these subjects to the end of the experiment. What they did find was that 50 micrograms also caused distress. Well, was distributed into all the tissues of the body, notably the lymph, the spleen, the adrenals, the ovaries for the female rats, and the liver, right? And you're getting reports now of kids with liver damage, and everyone's going, what could it be? What could it be? Well, it could be this, right? Because these toxic products are going everywhere in the body, but notably the liver. So what no one told the American people is that 100 micrograms is the dose in Moderna. That is the dose in Moderna.
Oh.
And 30 micrograms is the dose for adults in Pfizer. So now let's do the math. So basically 100 micrograms, I mean, humans are not rats, right? But they Pfizer did not find a safe amount of any kind. They found toxic amounts and they rolled it out anyway, right? So it's not like they found, oh, this is a safe amount. Now let's titrate for an adult male. Let's titrate for an adult female. No, nothing was, and they knew it. But also think about the boosters. And there's another study that shows the mechanism of the boosters. And this is out of China, or rather out of Hong Kong, overseen by the Chinese Communist Party in August 2021. First dose in rats does some harm, some cytokine storms. Second dose in the bloodstream, not in the muscle, it inflames, enlarges the heart so much it's visible to the naked eye, has white patches visible on the hearts of these rats, and inflames the liver and causes cytokine storms, damages the liver. So the second dose is systemically damaging. So now look at the math. Pfizer, first dose for an adult, 30 micrograms. Second dose for an adult, 60 micrograms. First booster, 90 micrograms. Second booster, 120 micrograms, over what was the lethal dose or the highly damaging dose in rats. In mammals. So this is catastrophic. And, you know, as I've been saying elsewhere, that plus the fact that Pfizer bonded basically with the Chinese Communist Party and Fosun Pharmaceuticals out of Shanghai, which is run by the Chinese Communist Party, and Fosun Pharma just opened Fosun Pharma USA with a branch in Boston, Mass, and in Princeton, New Jersey, to produce BioNTech's and Pfizer's mRNA vaccines and PCR tests and antigen tests and Paxlovid, which our president is on, right? They're all being produced by the Chinese Communist Party. So to me, this is clearly a national security crisis. It's clearly a bioweapon. I've been warning people you can take people out by simply altering dosage or brand.
Doctor, thank you so much. People, go to dailyclout.io. Appreciate you, doctor, so much.
Thank you.
All right. That was stunning. That was stunning. Go read her stuff. It's amazing. All right, we have Light in the Mood next. First, your home stinks. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. Everyone's home stinks. You stink. I stink. Human beings, we put off odors. What you cook puts off odors. Pets put off odors. Maybe you're still burning heaters, old school in the house. It's putting off odors. You know, Eden Pure Thunderstorm cleans your air. Doesn't cover up odors in your air. It cleans your air. You can taste it. I can smell it right when I walk into my house. It's amazing. I bought one. I was so floored, I went out and bought two more. That's why Eden Pure sells three packs for my viewers. If you go to EdenPureDeals.com and use the code Jesse, you'll get a three-pack for under $200. That's $200 off. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. Go. Clean your home. We'll be back. We want to pay homage to Grandma Vodka, Nancy Pelosi. I mean, obviously, it's all the story today. She's in Taiwan. So we're going to have a little video of her at her sharpest. Before we get to that, look, we've already talked about things you need to do to make sure you're safe, right, and prepared. It's, again, it's not just about shooting. It's not just about water. It's not just about having some gold. What are you going to eat? Have you talked to cattle ranchers lately? Have you talked to farmers about the fertilizer problem, the beef bottlenecks, the supply chain gigantic problems that are still to come? Do you have a way for you and your family to eat until they get things worked out? My Patriot Supply has exactly what you need. You don't have to stress it. Go to preparewithjessekelly.com, and what you'll see there is you can get a 3-month emergency food kit for $150 off. Get one for each member of your household. If you live alone, just get one. preparewithjessekelly.com. Then you don't have to think about it. Put it somewhere and you're safe. All right. preparewithjessekelly.com. Now, Nancy Pelosi took a courageous flight to Taiwan. So we thought in honor of that, we would play you this inspiring speech she gave from last week.
We're sending stuff over to the Senate. Well, it's most of the product that we've done is, except now we may have added in the last day or so. And some of what we added is Senate to the bill, like a hearing. Bernie doesn't like hearing. Excuse me, Bernie loves hearing. Manchin doesn't want hearing in the bill and all that stuff. So some is Senate oriented, and then we have the family medical need. We figured if they're putting things in, then we can put something in, even if Manchin doesn't like it. So, so we are getting some bird and privilege. I think mostly we're getting privilege scrub, because privilege scrub is deadly to a bill. Bird ball, it's important. It's you have to take it out, but privilege violation can take you out.
These are the people who represent us overseas. Whew. I'll see you tomorrow.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
Hey everyone, Jake Storielli here from John Boy Media. I want to tell you about my podcast, Waking Jake. I've been a sports nut my whole life, and there's nothing I love more than talking about it. If you're a sports fan, Waking Jake is the place for you. Covering all the hot topics from the sports world, a lot of baseball, a lot of postseason coverage, mock drafts, awards, guest interviews, all of it. New episodes every Monday and Wednesday. Come watch along on the Waking Jake YouTube channel or listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. This is Jimmy O'Brien from John Boy Media. I want to quickly tell you about my podcast. It's called Jimmy's Three Things. Episodes come out every Tuesday, and for 30 minutes, I dive into three stories in Major League Baseball that I want to talk about, or I do a stat deep dive. Sometimes I create my own stats. It gets weird. It's now your go-to podcast for staying up to date and in the weeds with Major League Baseball. No topic is off limits or too small. Bad umpires, great pitcher-catcher duos, new rules, old rules, three things that I want to talk about. Listen to Jimmy's Three Things on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain.
Benjamin Franklin is our subject for a new season with Walter Isaacson.
He's the most successful self-made business person in America.
A printer, a scientist, founding father, but maybe not the guy we think we know.
Franklin casts his lot on the side of revolution, and it's another thing that splits the family apart.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From tips for healthy living to the latest medical breakthroughs, WebMD's Health Discovered podcast keeps you up to date on today's most important health issues. Through in-depth conversations with experts from across the healthcare community, WebMD reveals how today's health news will impact your life tomorrow.
It's not that people don't know that exercise is healthy. It's just that people don't know why it's healthy. And we're struggling to try to help people help themselves and each other.
Listen to WebMD Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.